All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1119 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, May 23rd, and this show, of course, is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy or support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. You can just paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. If you're watching the show, I just grabbed the first shirt that was on the rack and I'm sitting down here and I'm looking at this and I'm like, dude, you're orange. And with the blue background and everything else, it just clashes horribly. But you know, what can I do? It's just the way it is tonight. So if you're listening, you have been spared some torture. That's all I can say. So, everyone, welcome. Of course, give a very, very warm welcome to the Ohana, the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. If you're brand new to Geek News Central, I want to welcome you to the family. And I want you to take time to visit. Go over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the website. Sign up for the show. It's real easy to do. When you're over on the website, you're going to find lots of great tech content. And of course, on the right-hand column of the website, you're going to find links to iTunes, Android, subscribe by email, Google Play, Stitcher, and RSS feed. And if you don't know what any of this means whatsoever, click on the more subscription options. We're going to give you a little tutorial on how to get subscribed to the show, because that is the most important thing you can do as a new listener of the show, is get over and subscribe. That way you'll never miss a single episode. You never miss a single episode of the show, because it'll be delivered automatically to the device that you're using or via email, however it may be. So that's the critical part here, is get connected, get hooked up, and be in for a great ride here. We're 1,119 episodes in, been at this a little while. And so we've got lots of great content to share with you every Monday and Thursday live, Tuesday and Friday available on demand via podcast. And, of course, you can catch the show just about everywhere on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel, on Apple TV in the podcast section. You can tell it Amazon, the Amazon Echo, the Dot, whatever. Tell Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher. You can watch on Blueberry or listen on Blueberry. And, don't forget that I'm on all social media, Facebook, Google+. You'll get connected. Right now, we're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on YouTube tonight. One thing I'm not happy about the Facebook streaming is audio just sucks. The video is not bad on Facebook, but we have tweaked and tweaked and tweaked, and I've yet to find anything I'm happy with, because what I hear here and what I hear in my other productions does not sound the same coming out on Facebook. So they've definitely got an issue. So if you're hanging on Facebook right now, just come over to live.geeknewscentral.com and you can watch the show live with us on YouTube and be in that chat room there. I am not watching the live stream on Facebook, because in order to do that, I have to run the live stream, and that is bandwidth we don't have. Of course, you can email the show if you got comments today, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Let's see if I can switch the right button here, because we were configured for some other stuff yesterday. Yes, it still works. Twitter @geeknews. So that's the second way you can reach out to me, is on Twitter. Of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast known in the universe, and that's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been with us since July of 2005, bringing you great deals on a regular basis, and we've had some ongoing non-expiring domains and non-expiring deals, excuse me, and you can find all those over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where all those special great deals are. And we've got 30% off on new product purchases. We got 99cent.coms. This is a one-time use code. Just so you're aware of that. When you use that 99cent.com code on a new account, that is a one-time good deal. If you use that code, it burns it. You won't be able to use it again. I know, I've tried. But don't worry. We've got plenty of options to get domain names. And really, the best deal is if you sign up for a hosting account, whether it be the website builder product that they have, which includes a domain and Microsoft Outlook email address for $1 a month for 12 months. Again, includes a free domain. That's for you business owners out there looking to rebuild your site and have lots of options to be able to really get jazzy, have a material design website, have something that's mobile ready. It's fantastic. Of course, you can go with the standard model of just getting an economy hosting account. Or you can sign up and get managed WordPress hosting. And that's important. It's a difference. It's a differentiator in many other hosting folks because they'll be updating your WordPress install if you forget to do so yourself. It's always good to keep on top of that on a regular basis. But great way to get started online, whether it be a podcast, whether it be a blog, whether it be a family site. I have all of the above because I truly believe in being connected and putting stuff online and making it available. Will it last beyond me? I hope so. But anyway, definitely check out all our deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to start. There's links there. And really, if you hover over the promo code and just click on the link, it'll take you to GoDaddy and it's going to lock in that deal. Now, if you get to checkout and you say, this doesn't look right, I'm not getting the deal, don't worry, just come back to the website, grab the code, and there'll be a place to enter the code on the GoDaddy website. We want to make sure that you are always using the code I provide you because that keeps the lights on here. And but anyway, big thanks to GoDaddy for being an ongoing sponsor. I hope that you check GoDaddy out today and get hooked up, get online, get everything you would ever possibly need to live a digital life and have a great beginning or continue something you've already started. All right, let's see here. What else I got in my stack of stuff tonight? I don't have a lot to get into besides content. That's probably a good thing for all of you. The Podcast Awards slate announcement went down yesterday. And of course, the Monday following, anytime that I do that, it's typically a fair amount of hate email. And a few FUs and a few, there was a few of those today. And most of it came out of Australia. And believe it or not, it was Twit fans. They were mad. There was a number of Twit fans that were mad that Leo Laporte did not make the slate. Well, Leo Laporte is a legacy show. They won 5 times. They won 5 years. We made new rules this year that made legacy shows, any show that wins 5 times, they basically get a permanent placement on the website. When we rebuild the website, come up, there'll be a legacy Hall of Fame type of thing. So, that's just kind of the way it is. And that's what we decided to do. So those Twit fans were mad that he was not included and a few others too. But for the most part, about 99.9% of everyone else is very happy with the results. I hope everyone is because it is what it is at this point, and voting will start on the 29th and last 2 weeks. The hard part is over for me. This is where I get to kind of enjoy the rest of it. Just got to plan the award ceremony, looking for a comedian, looking for someone to be a master of ceremonies we're going to do it digitally. People are going to be Skyping in, Skyping out. It's going to be pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to putting that on. And anyway, it'll be probably about a month from now, I'd imagine, right around this time, a month from now when we'll do the award ceremony. But Anyway, that's it. So my son went to Comic-Con on Saturday here in Hawaii. I had a great time for it, and it was my 12-year-old. And he's like, Dad. And I'm like, yes, Chris. And he goes, how come all these girls, and he's 12, okay? So how come all these girls are like, well, there was a lot of exposure, a lot of upper exposure. He says, it's kind of gross. And I'm thinking to myself, just wait a few years, young man. So anyway, he had a good time at Comic-Con and bought some stuff and had cool time. So anyway, he had a good time there. And I didn't dress up or anything, and we'll see if that happens next year. Hey, the schedule here has been just crazy. I mean, simply on a level of insanity that really can't be matched. We are, I mean, micro close to being able to launch PowerPress sites. We've got a new version of PowerPress coming out that I think is being released. The final version is being released to the beta testers tomorrow, I hope. We've got lots of things in the burner. I'm doing interviews. We're in the news. It's good. So things are busy. Business is good, so can't complain. But just ultimately slammed like normal. But I am, I think, finally back to Hawaii time. But, you know, I already told you folks that I'm going to be going to my niece's graduation in Michigan, and we'll be flying out of here on Wednesday, June 1st, and then I will be in Michigan for two shows. Probably will only get one show produced. It all depends. I have to be at the airport very, very early on Tuesday morning. So we'll see how it goes. But more than likely, the Thursday show probably will not happen because that's the day I'm getting there and everything goes wrong. So I'm taking the drone with me, taking the DJI drone, and we'll get some video coverage. We'll do something. And maybe it'll be just Chris and me in the car talking about tech. Who knows? I thought maybe we'd maybe try something like that as we're driving from Chicago to Michigan. So it'll be a little fun. It's going to be something different for the show when I'm in Michigan. So we'll get something for you. Can't promise exactly what it's going to be, but hopefully you'll find it intriguing. So a little one-off here. I think that's it. What's going on? Oh, and we have found a developer for rebuilding the Podcast Awards site. The original development team that built it are going to be the lead, and they have some subcontractors. So it looks like we've got who we need to rebuild the Podcast Awards site. And so now I just got to go through and get the build built, or the bill, or the description of work done, essentially, of what we're going to accomplish. And I'm really excited about getting that underway, and we've got some timelines and about $9K to spend, so that's exciting itself. Hey, I did release a write-up on Saturday. If you haven't been to the website, I want you guys to check out this particular article, and it's my article on the Dell XPS 12 2-in-1 laptop or tablet review. So I want you to check this article out. And it's worthy of a read. Dell has been nice enough to provide me a whole smorgasbord of stuff to talk about. We're going to be doing some more articles. This, I talked about it in the last show, this monitor, this 4K monitor that they provided. I wish I had room for it right here. It is simply incredible. It just won't fit in my space that I have in the studio here. We have yet to figure out where it's staying. It's not going anywhere. I can tell you that. I may have to make a new work area. This thing is so, holy cow, unbelievable. But it's nice. So anyway, I'll have the link was up in the last show notes. If you missed it, go to there and bring it up. We're going to talk about another Dell monitor tonight as well, one that I saw announced. It even has my interest piqued even more. That the rest of you may be interested in. So anyway, let's go ahead. Let me get in the stack here. And yes, okay, I haven't made a mistake. I was a little sweating there for a second. I thought I may had closed something I wasn't supposed to. A little shot of H2O. You know, I get up early. And just as a side note, you know, my day starts at 4:30, sometimes 4 a.m. here in Honolulu. So it is now 8:30. So I have been up essentially 16 hours, okay? So I start the show after being working for 16 hours. So just so you guys know where I'm at, typically in a length of a day. And most people at 16 hours are smoked, and they've been doing this so many years, this is just the way it is. But I've supplemented in times past with Red Bull. And I went to open up the cabinet this evening and looked, and then the Red Bull box was empty. And my wife is she buys stuff from Metaluca, and they have these little one shot energy drinks that are actually better than the Red Bull. And you know, she saw me come out of the kind of a panic. She says, "There's no Red Bull, is there?" I said, "No." And she says, "In the refrigerator, there's a couple of Metaluca hot shots." So I was like, "Woohoo!" So I went into the refrigerator and grabbed one, and that was consumed about 30 minutes ago. But just sometimes need a little bit of a to get me through through the show, and then I just flat out collapse at the end of the podcast. But that's what you do when you're a business owner and you're burning the midnight oil. All right. Facebook. Let's talk a little bit about Facebook. And those of you on Facebook, just be aware, Facebook has denied systematic bias and trending topics, but they have miraculously decided to change how articles are chosen. They say they're toning down their editorial judgment. They say they're altering the makeup of its controversial trending topics section in response to a Senate inquiry over alleged censorship of conservative news sources. Now, where was I? I was somewhere. I had my iPad, and I was on Facebook, and I saw someone said, you know, of course, there was a bunch of people from the conservative coalition, I guess, that went to Facebook headquarters. One was Glenn Beck. There was a number of other people. It was, you know, again, I don't even know the list, but I know Glenn Beck was on because he wrote an op-ed on Medium. And I flipped over and I read that over the weekend, and he didn't believe that there had been any quote-unquote wrongdoing by Facebook. He was on their side. So the one guy that you would expect to shotgun blast him, because he runs The Blaze. The Blaze is a news outlet for his news network. And they were one of the sites that was accused of not being, you know, a watch for trending or whatever. But he said he didn't feel that they were guilty. So the company's news operation, Facebook's news operation, will no longer rely on a top 10 list of websites, which included the New York Times, CNN, and the Washington Post, which three of the 10, I don't have the other ones, to determine which subject is newsworthy or not. It is also limiting a list as many as 1,000 websites it used to access the relevance of stories as well as the RSS feeds it uses to aid its algorithms. Facebook says our investigation revealed no evidence of systematic political bias in the selection of prominence of stories, including the trending topics feature. Facebook's general counsel, Colin Stretch, wrote in a statement today, Facebook says its data analysis proves liberal and conservative topics were approved for the trending list at identical rates. While no evidence exists to substantiate the claim that certain news sources like The Blaze and the Drudge Report were being suppressed, in fact, we confirm that most of the subjects mentioned in media reports were included as trending topics on multiple occasions. Stretch added, however, he did acknowledge that Facebook could not fully exclude, could not fully exclude the possibility of isolated improper actions or unintentional bias, so the company is changing up the formula to rely more heavily on computers and data than people. Now, don't think anything will ever replace people at this point in picking stuff and seeing what's trending. They may get a better result. I don't know. Of course, you know, depending on which side of the fence you're on, if you're left leaning, you're saying, woohoo, they were suppressing conservative, potentially suppressing conservative topics. And if you're a conservative, you're like, you're mad because maybe they were, but in the end, they say they're going to make a change. I don't think I really even pay attention, to be quite honest with you. I guess it shows up in your news stream. I thought it was off the side or something. So, you know, at this point, if I see stuff I don't like in Facebook, which is because of this political season, people have absolutely lost their freaking minds. I just basically, I don't unfollow someone. I just say, hide this topic. I just don't even, I just immediately click and say, hide the topic, and then I move on. That's the best thing to do until this insanity, well, of course, it's going to last until November and probably, you know, beyond, depending on the results. But I think we can also realize that most people that work in journalism today, the large majority, are probably a little left-leaning. You know, maybe I'm wrong in saying that, but, you know, you would think that the news would typically, you know, hang a little left. Some people say, no, that's not true, but I think we could all kind of see that to a certain extent. I might be wrong. But anyway, they're saying they're not guilty. They're innocent. They deny bias. And they vow change anyway. So we'll see what happens with Facebook. Pretty amazing. One person, prior worker there, the uproar that it could say by coming out and basically talking to a news agency and saying they were guilty of doing this. You know, there's so much sensitivity right now. In any type of tech space, news related type stuff, that because everyone thinks that there's biases, at least most conservatives think there's biases. Most people that are on the liberal side probably think not. And if they do think so, they maybe quietly applaud it. That's my opinion. So anyway, it is what it is. But anyway, we'll see what they do and if they change things up. And the most bizarre article or case. A company that seemingly does nothing but license patents, or if necessary, they have, well, this is a horribly written article. Let me go to the Fortune. There's an article, this is a source from Fortune. This particular one I picked up initially was on Slashdot. So, okay, so here we go. Apple's been hit by one of the most, more shocking patent lawsuits in recent memory. Oh, yeah, a company that seemingly does nothing but license patents or, if necessary, sue other companies to get royalties, it helps if you have commas, has taken aim at Apple. But here's the kicker. The lawsuit alleges, listen to this, that Apple's last several iPhones and iPads violate a slew of patents related to seemingly standard features, including the ability to place a call. Yes. Dial and place a call, as well as sending and receiving emails. So a total of 6 patent infringement claims were brought against Apple by Cordoris Technologies on May 20th. According to the Apple tracking site Patently Apple, which obtained a copy of the lawsuit, the case was brought, of course, in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Texas. Back there we go. Cordoris, of course, is headquartered in Texas, where many similar companies that buy up patents reside. And they basically have a mail drop box there. So anyway, once again, patent trolls are on the loose. Let's see if Apple can just simply crush them. All right, SpaceX, they're going to be try to land on solid ground again in July. So SpaceX's 9th cargo resupply mission to the International Space Station will take place no earlier than 1:32 a.m. on Saturday, July 16th. A representative of SpaceX has confirmed to The Verge that the company will attempt to land the first stage of its Falcon 9 rocket at the Cape. This will be the first time that SpaceX attempted a landing on solid ground since the initial attempt last December, which was also the company's first successful landing. So just wonder if this is going to start being a more regular thing. It makes sense that they would want to do this. I'm sure the folks in at the Cape have some stringent approach rules so that they're not crossing over where humans are going to be, and you know, a whole bunch of different things. But you know, SpaceX has been working very hard to make its rockets reusable because it could, you know, dramatically reduce their costs. And so one thing that SpaceX has not yet done is reuse a rocket. So they've recovered some, but they haven't went back, reworked, repurposed, and reutilized a rocket. But they're going to do that sometime this summer. So we will see where this goes. We'll see how SpaceX does in July. It's exciting stuff. To see that land is simply incredible. Incredible. Hey, India's launched a prototype space plane on its first test flight. And but here's the funny thing. They said they successfully crashed it into the ocean. And it kind of looks like the X-35 Air Force, you know, mini space shuttle. It looks similar to that. And I just thought this was funny. I thought a successful test of something that is a plane would require a landing at an airstrip, or but this particular 21-foot-long 6.5-meter RLVTD, as I said, came back down to Earth, hitting the atmosphere at 5 times the speed of sound, and ultimately splashing down in the Bay of Bengal at a designated spot about 280 miles from the launch site. They declared the 772nd mission a success. They went to 65 kilometers, which is 40.4 miles high. So I guess they weren't actually planning to land it, but okay. So good job, India, on your successful splash landing. There's a fantastic picture of a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket as it heads outbound, and it was captured in just a stunning photo. Let's see if I can bring it up for those of you that are watching. And can I enlarge this here before I bring it up on the screen? No, I cannot. But I have the link up in the show notes. It's by the guy by the name of Mike Killian, and he's got a website at americanspace.com. So anyway, very, 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 very cool. americaspace.com is his website, I guess, or where this information was at. So very, very cool. You like to see these time-lapsed photos. All right, so, you know, I've often talked in this show that those of you that listen to the show that live in rural America are those of you that are not on a very fast internet connection, and there's a number of you, especially folks that listen to the show outside of the United States and maybe in countries that don't have as good of infrastructure. It's a challenge, you know, and you may be on a connection that is like 1.5 megs down or something to that effect. You don't have super fast internet. You can't watch the video of this particular show. You have to listen. My mom is in that situation. She lives about literally maybe a mile and three quarters from high-speed internet. That's where about the close, maybe it's 2 miles from the, and it's basically straight down one road, hang a left and go about a quarter of a mile, and you're where there is high-speed internet. And, you know, such a far distance, but yet, you know, it's close, but yet feels like a million miles away. And they have Hughes, and they have a wireless connection, but still, their bandwidth tapped out. I go, you know, I go visit. I take my own MiFi with me because it's like the desert for bandwidth. And I know the 5 or 6 days I'm going to be there, I'm going to be on, you know, mobile data. A lot of people are sick of it. So a gentleman decided that he was going to find out how much it was going to cost to get fiber to his farm. Now, this guy is out in the country, okay? So digging trench, you know, you just got to dig the trench, put the line down. Most power lines are on poles above ground. It's not, you know, it's not like they have to worry about gas and that type of stuff. Maybe a few phone lines they have to worry about, copper phone lines. And it turns out when he talked to the internet service provider, which was Windstream Communications, quoted him, and this is in Nebraska. He was on DSL. They quoted him a price of $383,504 to bring internet service to his residence, 4.5 miles away from, actually closer, 3-point-something away from his home. Well, this particular farmer did some shopping around, and he was able to connect with the Northeast Nebraska Telephone Company, NNTC, and he was able to negotiate with them to bring in fiber for $41,915. Now, how much would you pay for high-speed internet service? I've always said, I've always told my mom, I said, if I ever come back to Michigan, I said, first priority business is finding a place with high-speed internet. There's no way I can, you know, we've got plenty of land. We've got plenty of land to build. I could go there and very easily take the homestead plot that my grandparents lived on at 5 acres and drop a new house on there. It'd be no issue. But I'm a connected kind of guy, and that just won't work from a connectivity standpoint. So I do feel a little bit more confident when I hear that someone in Nebraska was able to have fiber, or is going to have fiber, you know, basically drilled in about 4 miles to bring that in for $41,000. Would you pay $41,000 to have internet brought into your resident? I would, if I didn't have it. The company's going to work with him and split payments over 3 years. He says, hey, this is the cost of a new car. He says, I'm going to be able to pay this in 4 yearly installments. My internet cost is going to be around $100 a month. I'm going to get 25 up, 25 down. Here's the crazy part. He's getting fiber and he's still only going to get 25. Think about that for a second. So, but he's, you know, better than now, 1.5 down, 375K up. So we have to start wiring rural America. We have to start making it so that those in these situations can get access. I would love to be able to tell my sister, hey, why don't you contact the company and if they'll, she would probably pay $20,000. To have internet or have fiber brought in. Maybe not. But if, you know, if she's got all the kids at home, they're using a lot of bandwidth on Hughes, the overreach charges, they could spread it over 3-4 years. Yeah, she might swing that. So if you're in that situation, if you're listening to this show today and you're in that situation where you cannot get broadband because it's cost too much or they're just not available, start calling around. Do your research. Do what this guy did. Don't plan on the major provider in town to give you a deal. But there's lots of data running throughout the country. Lots of fiber and lots of companies that have access to be able to tap in and get someone connected. So he says, hey, that $42,000 is going to be money well spent. My property value is going to go up. It's like me putting solar on the house. But $42,000 is still a lot. But if you live in this world, it's maybe worth the price. And ultimately, maybe we're all going to have to just pay to bring it in. He does say, they did say if someone signs up off his line, in other words, if someone else in the neighborhood decides that they want to have their fiber dropped in and because they're going to bring in a substation to his place, that they would give him a $6,000 discount per customer that signs up. Now, that's pretty awesome. right? You go over to your neighbor's house and say, hey, by the way, you want high-speed internet? We got a line over here. That neighbor may be a half mile away, but, you know, that changes the whole dynamic for a neighborhood. America today is using a staggering amount of mobile data. Over on the Washington Post, there's a report that Americans are so committed to their smartphones and tablets that they use nearly 10 billion gigabytes of mobile data last year. That's more than double the amount of data we've used the year before. And this is why the mobile companies are so desperate for more capacity. That reflects a tremendous explosion in mobile browsing. The report from the CTIA finds that consumers suck down 804 billion megabytes of data a month last year, which adds up again to a 9.65 billion gigabytes. And it's a huge amount. It's more remarkable when you look at previous years. From December 2013 to December 2014, U.S. data consumption grew by 26%. But the following year, it grew 137%. And some of that growth could be attributed to the swelling numbers of Americans choosing to disconnect their landlines to go mobile only. Americans are also increasingly abandoning home internet plans, exclusively using mobile phones to go online. Now, I'm not going to go that far. For those of you that have, how do you do it? So very, very interesting. All right. If you're an Amazon customer, I am, ordered something today. Here's an example of, I used to pay about $100 for ultraviolet light for my koi pond. It used to take as much as 2 weeks for that to get there from a company in Washington State that we had ordered from. I went on Amazon today, ordered two of them for the same price as one. That it'll be here, and I did pay a little extra from shipping because it's out and I've got a algae bloom going on, and it'll be here on Wednesday. So I'm a happy camper. Save a lot of money. It's, you know, maybe that vendor's got an account with Amazon. All I know is I've saved cash. So all of us are shopping deals, right? We're trying to make our dollars go further because this world's not being nice per se to the middle class. So the Amazon no longer is going to offer refunds for after the sale price drops. I'd be honest with you, I didn't even know they did this. So say goodbye to the days when Amazon would cut you a break if the price of a product dropped right after you ordered it. Customers are reporting that Amazon has stopped offering partial refunds on orders if a price drop happens within 7 days. If you pull the trigger shortly before a sale, you'll just have to live with your choice. Amazon tells RE Code that it didn't officially have a policy like this outside of televisions, but it's now clear that the company no longer hands out exemptions like they were candy. So, okay. That's an interesting, I didn't even know that they would like give you some money back if the price dropped. Never tried. I guess that was one of the little secrets of Amazon that you had to know about. I've often talked about OLED screens as being more vibrant than life. If you've ever seen an OLED screen and you've seen some of the demo videos on it, they just blow you away. The large majority of us cannot afford an OLED TV. But I think the large majority of us can afford an OLED screen in a iPhone. This isn't the first company to put OLED into a mobile phone. But according to some suppliers, one of Apple's biggest screen providers has ordered a whole bunch of manufacturing equipment to be able to build OLED screens. OLED screens are hard to build. They have to be pixel perfect because you can just so easily see a defect. But if the new iPhone has an OLED screen, I'm going to tell you, it is going to blow your freaking socks off. It's going to be that impressive. For those of you who haven't experienced one, just trust me on that, okay? All right, Facebook is enabling continuous live video to power puppy cams, eagle cams. So Facebook's really trying to get in the game here. And, you know, at the beginning, it was a very short time that you could stream live. Now it's 90 minutes. It'll be safe. But if you go beyond 90 minutes, if you're allowed to, it won't save the recording. So for me, that's a deal killer. If, you know, as long as it's up to 90 minutes, it saves the video, I'm good. But those of you that are running puppy cams and eagle cams or whatever it may be, or doing a conference or something, this gives you some options. You know, I really, be honest with you, if they can improve the social experience on Facebook so that I, as a content creator, can have a different panel to be able to interact with you a lot easier on Facebook without having to have the stream running on the background, it'll be good. And time will tell whether or not they'll get that fixed, along with their shitty audio, to be quite frank. People do the weirdest things, and they call it art. A couple of comedians left a Nissan Leaf on a Los Angeles street during the weekly two-hour period reserved for street sweeping. I don't have to worry about that in my neighborhood. They don't street sweep. I street sweep. And they narrated a 40-minute live stakeout of waiting to see how long it took to get a parking ticket. An astounding 13,000 people tuned in during midday during a work day to watch a car get a ticket. Yep. Can you imagine sitting on a live stream, watching and waiting for a police officer or traffic patrol person to come by and give a car a ticket? The video's gotten 32,138 views. Have we become so mind-numbingly stupid? I don't get it. Now, those of you that are up watching me in the middle of the night, hey, you're getting educated. The article of the day is one by BuzzFeed, and it's about digital payments. So I want you all to take some time. This is a 15-minute you know, some rest and relaxation time, maybe in a can or some light reading before bed. This is a good article talking about digital payments, microchips. You know, I'm not having a microchip stuck in me. Sorry, I'm not going to go to that extreme. But talks about one guy's pain that he went through to try to do digital payments strictly through his mobile phone, no cash, no cards, for 30 days. And it details that experience. I'm not even, it would take the whole show to go through it. So that'll have to wait. And I'll let you guys read it on your own. But it was the reason I was kind of late getting the show started tonight, because I kept reading and didn't want to stop. And I said, oh man, I got to stop. I got to get the rest of the stuff done. There's a good article by Marco Arment. And this is the second home run he's hit in recent days. No Marco, he's done good things in the podcast community for many years. He's got a very popular podcasting app. You know, before this article he wrote, before the iPhone, Rim's BlackBerry was the king of smartphones. You know, and really, if you think back, it wasn't that too long ago that they were, I mean, everyone was a BlackBerry crack addict, right? And, when the iPhone came out, you know, the BlackBerry continued to do well for a little while, but it game over, right? It just absolutely destroyed them. Well, Marco thinks that Amazon, Facebook, and Google are placing large bets on AI. And they're talking about assistants, voice interfaces, things that we're going to be able to interact with our phones without typing. He feels that because they're investing so heavily in AI, that Apple may actually be left behind. We haven't heard a lot about Apple and what they're doing in AI. We know Amazon, Facebook, Google have all invested heavily in big data and AI for many years. And they're spending lots of money, billions of dollars on AI. But, Apple's relatively, in this article, I'm summarizing some of the stuff that Marco said, is they are good at doing basic things. And they are not making a lot of changes. They're not moving forward a lot on some of this stuff. So he's afraid that they're going to get their lunch ate by these three companies if they don't invest big. Who knows? I'm those of you that Apple fans may not agree with this. Marco knows a lot of people in the space. I'm sure he's talked to people about this before he wrote this article. We know that Apple's being, according to him, being led properly day to do and doing very well. Of course, look at where their valuation is. My God, they're one of the most successful companies in America. But he's worried. And I think maybe rightfully so. It's a good article. I'll have a link up in the show notes. You guys can go through the full details. Well, DRM wars started again. And I'm switching topics here. Coders have cracked the Oculus DRM in 24 hours. You're like, what do you mean Oculus DRM? Had DRM? Well, it wasn't supposed to have DRM. It was supposed to be open. But the Oculus folks dropped DRM on it last week. And it only lasted like 48 hours before the folks figured out how to circumvent DRM. And the problems for Oculus are going to be huge. That means they're going to be able to run non-Oculus code and apps on Oculus hardware, and the pirating of that type of VR games and so forth could very easily happen now. So there's a war that's already started on what's going to happen with virtual reality. And this is a good article by The Register. But they were mad. They promised that the Oculus was going to be an open platform, and then they dropped DRM on it. And everyone said, what? You're locking it down? DRM is never good. And, we've seen many, many, many businesses fail because they've tried to implement DRM to try to protect their platform. And instead of being innovative and moving, it's too bad what's going on here. There's a lot of people, though, that are still waiting for their Oculus headsets. And they've had production delays and delayed, just all kinds of trouble. So they got to get their act together because big companies are spending big money on VR right now. Over on Gizmodo, there is an absolutely fantastic space science quick refresher of the universe. So a gentleman in a very cool way put together a 4-minute video that basically shows your position in the universe. he starts out at the very basic level and goes through a number of, basically takes you from quarks and the quantum physics and takes you all the way out to the Big Bang. So 4 minutes. And you can get educated on the universe in 4 minutes. It's nothing else. It's very comical and may educate you at the same time. So obviously the link in that will be up in the show notes tonight, as always. I've got so much stuff tonight. There's no way I'm going to get through it. For those of you that are following it, apparently the FBI is getting very close. They're in a late stage of the presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's email probe. And apparently they're going to be talking to her soon. Or may have already, but they're very close to wrapping up their investigation. We'll see where that leads. Spotify has announced a family plan. They've dropped it to $15 per month for up to 6 people. So the new plan can better compete with Apple Music. So that's very interesting here. So that's a significant significant drop. The previous account would have been $34.99, so they dropped it $20. The new plan includes a premium subscription with individual accounts anywhere in the world except Canada. Sorry, Canadians. All collected in a single bill. The change comes on the heels of the company's announcement that it's adding video content. I think they also had a $2 billion. Yeah, it's in here somewhere. I don't have it. I should have had it right following, but we've got some earnings information from as well. Hey, if you're a Slingbox fan, the Slingbox 500 is on sale right now. And it doesn't require any additional cost, but Amazon is hosting a one-week sale that drops the price of a Slingbox 500 to just $249. If you want the same great experience you get at home to follow you anywhere you go, including in your house. So, but you know, the Slingbox basically lets you stream on your TV, on your mobile device, on your phone, on a Roku, on a Fire Stick TV. It really is kind of like that in go-between device. And you can watch and control 100% of your live TV on a tablet, phone, PC, or Mac. Again, it requires Sling Player for mobile devices. It's Windows or Mac minimum requirements, Intel Core 2, home TV interface via HDMI with live sports and gallery view for easy program discovery, sort by program genre or set up favorites, integrated YouTube app. So Slingbox 500. On sale, $249. I just found a cool video today. What happens when you drop 30 pounds of dry ice into a swimming pool? Pretty cool. I have to look up the show notes for you to see. Or in the New York Times, lately, they put out some sloppy stuff lately. They've been called on it, you know, national news with political stuff and a whole bunch of other stuff. But there's a new op-ed out. It's claiming that Silicon Valley hates music. And this gentleman, and you read through this article on Tech Dirt, spewed a whole bunch of stuff that was just patently false and not true. And so Tech Dirt's calling into question, what is going on at the New York Times? Why are they not watching the articles that are coming out? Why aren't they vetting sources and so on and so forth? Just another example. But this guy is reading some of the stuff he posted. Even I'm like, that's not right. That's not true. Who is he trying to pull a fast one with? So it's largely about the music industry. Don't want to go too much into detail about it. But what do we do? How do we hold these journalists? How do we hold these big media companies to account? And it's just not New York Times. It goes across the whole board. It's entertainment TV anymore. It's an entertainment publishing. It's not news. It's vetted, and you know, it makes you wonder where we're. I think maybe journalism is dead. Maybe that's just the simple fact. Well, Google and Oracle had their closing arguments today. There's two great dedicated articles on each of their positions, but the jury has it. And if Google loses, they could end up paying Oracle $9 billion. Oracle won a little taste of the Android success because they couldn't do it on their own. So it all really kind of centers around the Java APIs that were supposedly open, which Oracle says they weren't. But anyway, closing arguments, we should have some news in a few days if the jury decides which way this thing's going to go. But I've got both closing arguments up in the show notes tonight. For Star Trek fans, this is big. CBS Paramount is going to beam away the lawsuit against a Star Trek fan-made film. I guess there was such an outcry, and basically, they kind of came to their senses, and CBS and Paramount acknowledged that they're going to be more torn down, and that they're pleased to confirm that they're in a settlement discussion, and they're working on a set of fan film guidelines. So going forward, maybe there will be some things they can do. So I don't know if this fan film folks are going to be paying off, or if they've just decided to play a little nice because fans were a little bit outraged that they went after them. I don't know. But on a blog post Sunday, the Axnar, these are the folks making the fan film, said he was excited by the news, but reminded people that lawyers first need to hammer out the details before the suit is officially resolved. He also said he's anxious to see the new guidelines for fan-made films, so he and his staff have a better idea of what to do as they try to go forward. So they've come to their senses. How many of you have a Sonos? I'm a big fan of Sonos. Sonos gear doesn't go on sale very often. But right now, Amazon's offering Amazon gift cards when you pick up some of the Sonos speaker stuff. If you're looking to kind of upgrade your home entertainment system and have something that's portable, that can move from room to room, the Sonos speakers are pretty sweet. You know, I've got a number of them in the house here, so I'm looking at what's on sale. The Playbar soundbar to me might be my next purchase because I'm looking for something for the living room, but you can get as much as $150 back in gift cards. So I'll have that up there for you to check out. Google's going to be testing a password-killing project called Abacus. It's going to be tested by banks this summer, and if it's successful, and of course, it was announced at Google I/O last year, and Project Abacus is stems really from the idea that while humans are not very good at remembering passwords, our devices kind of know, if implemented correctly, who we are. And it can analyze our fingerprints, our voice annotations, how we type, and can give basically an authority to banks saying, hey, this is Todd, let him in. You don't have to remember the password. I still like the idea of my banking information requiring a significant password. That is, you know, probably for most of us, probably, you know, sacred ground. It's probably the one, you know, one thing you do remember in your head that you don't have some password application remembering for you. You know, quick way to be in ruin and damnation is having someone get into your account and transfer money out. So, anyway, we'll see what Google does with this. But they're, accordingly, if everything goes right, they're going to be releasing the API to Android app developers later this year. For me here in Hawaii, oftentimes if I need to get to the airport, it's either I have to call a cab. There's no real Uber or Lyft comes out this area, where my wife has to drive me in and get me back. It's something that just doesn't, it's not convenient. So now you can book a Lyft ride for up to 24 hours in advance. You can have schedule a car to come get you. This is cool. So if you know, if I know I'm going to the airport, I need a car by this time, I can request it in 24 hours and they can confirm whether someone can come pick me up. So this is a big, big deal. And it keeps me out of the dirty, nasty, stinky cabs here in Hawaii that cost so much. So, this is good. Being able to book up to 24 hours advance on Lyft. So that is forthcoming. Hey, there's a new startup that has an alcohol monitoring wristband. It just won a $200,000 prize. It's called the Backtrack Skin. It measures your sweat to determine your blood alcohol content. Now, unlike a breath analyzer, which is effective 15 to 20 minutes after you've had a cocktail, the alcohol monitoring wristband, it's because of the way alcohol goes through our body, it runs about 45 minutes behind, at least in initial test. But it can kind of tell you, if you watch where your BAC is climbing up to know where you're at and where the, you need to slow down. But anyway, they just got a $200,000 innovation prize. And they're down in Australia. So we'll see how they do this. It's this is going to be awesome. Wear a little wristband and it tells you, you know, how hammered you are. An FBI agent has testified that the agency's Tor exploiting malware isn't actually malware. Okay, you take an application, it infects a machine, it gives you information about the machine. That sounds like malware. In testimony earlier this week, the case of U.S. versus Jay McCaud, and Jay McCaud is not any nice guy. He is under a a court case where he was accessing child pornography. So this guy is not anyone's friend. FBI Special Agent Daniel Alfin argued that the hacking tool used to identify McCaud and thousands of other Playpen users, and this is, you know, all these perverts that were on those sites, which the FBI calls, and basically they call their tool a Network Investigative Technique, or NIT, isn't malware because it was authorized by court and didn't damage the security of McCaud's computer. Anything that tells you where the guy's calling from is probably requires a warrant, right? Well, this guy may walk because the authorities got a warrant in one jurisdiction. He lived in another. They executed this on this guy's machine in another state after having gotten the warrant over here. But Rule 42, which has been recently ruled on, as not being, they can't do that. This guy may, Rule 41, jurisdictional limits. This guy may get off. So, stuff that they're doing in law enforcement right now is going to cause people that probably should be going to jail. Obviously, you have, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. But in this instance, handwriting's kind of on the wall there. This guy's going to walk free because they just getting so far ahead of themselves and trying to catch people. They're not getting a search warrant in the right jurisdiction and everything else. But maybe they couldn't because they didn't know where he actually was. So we'll have to see how this turns out. In Japan, an ATM heist reportedly involved 100 people, stole $12.7 million. They had South African credit cards. And they picked a time very early in the morning in Japan, which was very late at night in South Africa, made over 1,400 ATMs were hit, and the culprits withdrew about $900 at each ATM. And about 100 people were involved. And so ultimately, the bank lost about $19 million, I think. So some crooks have gotten 12.7, 9.9. There's a big difference there. But anyway, lost a significant amount of money. Japanese police are working it. But I'm sure all those guys are probably wearing hoodies and face masks. That's one thing in Japan. You can wear a face mask that covers up your whole entire front of your face. Everyone wears them because if you have a cough, they don't want you coughing on you. You even cough, you know, you don't cover your mouth. You wear one of those face masks. So if every one of those people were wearing face masks and a hoodie, they would get about this much of them. So some sort of a gang cashed in. All right, let's skip a couple articles here as we move through. Oh, yeah, Spotify breaks $2 billion in revenue, but still in the red. Just like a couple of other music companies. Hey, Disney will make Netflix the happiest place on earth this September. Nearly 4 years after the deal was announced, Netflix will become the exclusive place in the United States to stream new Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilms, and Pixar movies. So this is huge. So coming in September, the Netflix stuff is going to expand. There's a startup in Seattle that secured a $5 million investment, and they've come up with the ultimate earphones. If you want to look like Spock, these are the ultimate earphones. And when you see these things, it's called Human Incorporated. And now it's what they're calling a sound program, a wireless pod-based audio solution that can switch between a private headphone and a portable loudspeaker. And when you see these things, you're going to be like, no, I'm not wearing those. Sometimes I see stuff and I just laugh. I'm like, yep, they've got a really talented design person on their team to come up with something like that. Spock is cool, but I don't want to look like him walking around. Hey, Fox News, or Fox in general, not a Fox. Yes, the Fox Network. At a recent Copyright Office roundtable on the DMCA, a representative from Fox was adamant about pushing for stronger punishment for sites that host infringing content. Well, we all know about them taking down some stuff from Cory Doctorow a number of years ago. And they really got, you know, their hand slapped because it was released under Creative Commons. And, you know, it was just because the title was similar to a Fox title, they had it taken down. So what has happened here recently? Fox used someone else's YouTube video of a bug in the old Nintendo baseball game Double Dribble for a large clip in the show Family Guy. And then after that episode was added to Content ID, it wiped out the original clip that Fox took to put in Family Guy. It happens here. I have to be real careful about stuff I put in my YouTube videos, because all it takes is one little active clip and the Content ID will flag one of my piece of content for 3 seconds of active video and pull it down. They've gotten that good. And it happens automatically. Nothing you can do about it. And you have to be careful, because you get too many strikes, you're out. So, amazing. Hey, the FBI is making industry aware of a new keylogger. And it looks like a charger that would go on a wall being used to charge a phone. And they show a picture of it and how it's basically being used. It's called KeySweeper. It's a $10 USB charger that steals Microsoft keyboard strokes. So if you have wireless Microsoft keyboards in your office, this particular KeySweeper can just pick up everything that's being typed and sent over the internet or stored to allow someone to see later. So those of you who have businesses out there, throw those MS keyboards away and wire them up, okay? Here's the monitor I want to share with you guys. It's a 43-inch, yes, it's a monster, it's big, but it's a 43-inch 4K monitor that can split into four, listen to this, independent 1080p panels. This thing is like, oh my goodness, cool. So you can have four screens in one. I don't understand how they do it, because I was trying to look at the specs and how it connects up. There must be a device that's in a go-between on this, but to be able to wire up 2, 3, 4 monitors on one and go full screen on any of them and then look at individual one at one time, awesome, totally awesome. It's about $1,400 though, so it's not inexpensive, but I'm telling you, Dell is doing some stuff there, rocking. Dell, why didn't you send me one of those? beggars can't be choosers, but the P4317Q is also known as the Dell 43 multi-client monitor. And for you those that do stock or work in multiple screens, this thing is the wow. All right, any beer makers out there? Here in Hawaii, unless you have a house that's air conditioning and you got a cool place, there's not as many brewers here. I could never do it. We don't run AC in the house. It doesn't get cool enough for, you know, everything to do what it's supposed to do in the fermenting stage and everything. But a 5,000-year-old brewery was unearthed in China. Archaeologists uncovered ancient beer-making toolkits in underground rooms built between 3400 and 2900 BC. And scientists went through and basically analyzed everything. And holy smokes, they have got they've got the beer recipe, and they have published it. So they talk about the ingredients, not in the quantities, obviously, but if you want to brew up a batch of 5,000-year-old beer, and yes, they were using hops, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. But the scientists all put it together and figured out, you know, what it contained. And they say it would be a little bit sweet, a little bit sour. I don't know how you have both those tastes in a beer, but that's the case. Also, last article, and then I'll get into the email. A House panel has voted down a plan to make public domain congressional research. So the congressional research, DCRP, as it's more commonly referred to, does research for Congress, and they produce nonpartisan fact-finding documents. Back in 2009, WikiLeaks made news by releasing over 7,000 CRS reports that had been previously not allowed to be seen on the street. Since at least 2011, they've been writing about attempts to release these reports publicly. Remember, you're paying for them. But it appears Congress feels fearful of the public getting its hands on timely, credible, nonpartisan, and useful research paid for by your taxpayer dollars. But because it undermines partisan fighting and tribalism around certain policy platforms that are built on myths rather than evidence, they voted to not allow the public to get access to the CRC data. Wasserman Schultz, know who she is, said that it would not help members to have CRS go through a long and arduous approval process. So they don't want this data on the street. I'm sure it's on both sides, obviously, not just Republicans or not just Democrats, but also Republicans. So much for transparency, right? The government, dun dun dun. All right, let me go ahead over here and open up the email comments. I don't know if we had any come in. Did we? Let me look here. Load, load, load. Today is the 23rd. Did I read this from Richard? Say, hey, Todd, I just got an Amazon recently at the Fulfillment Center in Lexington, Kentucky. And by the way, Richard, congratulations on the job. I know you moved to the second location. He says, you're talking about Amazon opening up in-house branding. Well, they already have their own branding from what I've seen. They call it Amazon Basics. I think I talked about this. I don't know if they would call it that if they opened up an actual store, but that's what they're selling their own products under. As always, love the show, Richard. So if I've credited that twice, sue me. But thanks for that, Richard. And again, Amazon Basics. I have got some stuff by Amazon Basics. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, it's real easy. Grab the keyboard, grab the iPad, grab your Android tablet, whatever it be. Click the email icon. Open up a new email, geeknews@gmail.com. Put a subject in there. This is what I loved or hated about the show, or this is the article I liked about today's podcast. Let me know what you think. And don't forget to support our sponsor over at GoDaddy. All my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Get over there and use them often. Share with your friends, family members, people that you know. People are just getting started. We want to get them in the GoDaddy ecosystem. And for every customer that signs up and gets GoDaddy products and services using one of my codes, we keep the lights on another month. So it's important that you do that for me, and I appreciate it when you do. But we're here at the end of another Geek News Central. I want to thank you all for hanging out. Again, follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Google+, wherever you hang out, except for Instagram. I'm there. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your emails. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show today. Those of you on Facebook, thanks for being here. If you're still watching, if you're watching later, let me know how the audio sounds. Does it suck? I think it does, and we're going to work on that. But those of you that are on YouTube with me tonight, thanks for being here. Those of you that are listening on demand, like 99.999% of the rest of you do, thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for being part of the family here. Thanks for staying subscribed. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central Podcast. Everyone, take care. Aloha.